Welcome to Survival Mode Disrupted, the podcast for those who are done performing, done people pleasing, and done living life on autopilot. I'm your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and this is where we create disruptive, unapologetic transformations for those who are ready to exit survival mode and reclaim their power. Every episode is your permission slip to burn the rule book, break the cycle, and finally build a life that feels like yours. So let's disrupt everything that's holding you back and start living life on your own terms. This is your trigger warning. This podcast is raw. It is real, and it doesn't sugarcoat what it means to survive trauma, abuse, mental health battles, or even the aftermath of living in survival mode for too damn long. What you hear on Survival Mode Disrupted includes unfiltered stories, graphic details, and a vulnerable truth that may trigger some of the audience. Please prioritize your emotional safety. If something feels too heavy, pause. Breathe. Come back when you're ready or not at all. Your healing is yours to honor. These episodes are based on lived experience, not therapy sessions or clinical advice. Listening does not replace mental health treatment or constitute a coach-client relationship. If you're in crisis, please seek immediate help from a licensed professional or contact your local emergency services. This space is built with care, but it's also built for truth and built for disruption. Take what you need, leave the rest, and most of all, trust yourself. If this podcast speaks to your soul, you don't have to do this work alone. Feel free to join our free Facebook community for high-achieving women ready to break cycles and heal out loud. Join us at Disrupting Survival Mode on Facebook. Or grab the book that started this movement, Exiting Survival Mode, a raw step-by-step guide to help you identify, release, and rebuild from the survival patterns that have been keeping you stuck. Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted. I am your host, Leticia, the Survival Mode Disruptor, and today I have a fellow disruptor with me, Bill. So, Bill, why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Bill Poutler. I live in Alabama in the United States. I've got 6 children, 2 ex-wives. I've done all type of stuff, but my core thing is spirituality.
Ooh, this is going to be a good conversation. So let's kick it right off, Bill. How would you describe survival mode?
To me, by the way, I have the gift of tears, so I'm going to cry a little bit, and I can't control it. So survival mode to me is when we're conforming ourselves to the world instead of to ourselves. And that would, to me, would mean wearing masks, not questioning false beliefs that we cling to. And then when all those beliefs and all those masks get so heavy, it's almost like there's a chokehold around your neck and you move into survival mode and you just do whatever you do to kind of get through. Mm-hmm. And that's what I call survival mode, where you're not being attuned to yourself, but you're conforming to the world and the belief systems. And I don't know. And then you're just surviving. You're not really living.
Mm-hmm. I mean, by that definition, Bill, that is most people, because we tend to conform to societal expectations, and very few of us get to a point of authenticity and yes, being comfortable with stepping into it. So I agree with that. And that actually eliminates trauma. in that instance, because I mean, we are essentially born into this. We're conditioned. We hold on to cultural narratives, and that is how we operate in life until something happens to challenge that.
You're great, 100%. And you said a couple key words. And the other one I was going to say is liberation. Liberation is what happens when you move out of survival.
Absolutely. So tell us your story to Enduring Survival Mode, particularly around your spiritual awakening, if you don't mind. And let's get to know a bit more about you.
Okay, thank you. I've had a number of spiritual awakenings. My first one was on August 8th, 1988, where I was doing a Bible study with my neighbors, and they told me, and I was Catholic and had been and loved Jesus and loved God, but my fundamental Baptist neighbors told me that I needed to ask Jesus to come into my heart. And so I went out, I ride bicycles fairly often, and went out on a bicycle ride, and I'm like, whatever, Jesus, if you want to come into my heart, come on into my heart. And I got home and I started crying. And I cried for 2 days solid. And I had this purging. And that was the beginning of a path that I could never leave. And I was married at the time, and then I had more kids and I had a job and all this type of stuff. And I'm a nurturer by nature. And I'm also a people pleaser. And that's a whole nother story. And I'm a Cancer from astrology. I've got a lot of love. I love the love of my tribe, but I'm always in growth mode. And when I started to move outside of the belief systems of the Catholic Church, and my whole family was Catholic, and my wife and her family were uber Catholic, and I started questioning the religious doctrines. Well, it made everybody uneasy. And then I had another spiritual awakening. I was sitting in a cafe with a spiritual friend of mine, and we were talking, and my hands just started to shake. And I'm like, what is going on? My whole body felt like energy was just starting to pour through it. And I looked at my friend, and she had fire coming out of her eyes. And I'm like, holy shit. And then I looked around this little cafe we were in. Everybody had fire coming out of their eyes. And I was in love with all of them. I was in love with myself. I was in love with my friend. I was in love with the person sitting over at that table who I didn't know. And then I couldn't contain my spirituality anymore. And anytime that you're in a tribe, say hello to somebody. Anytime you're in a tribe of any type of tribe, right? Doesn't matter what it is, any type of group, any type of tribe, family, religion, social, governmental, political, cultural, doesn't matter. Once you go against those norms, you're like a splinter in that tribe. And so not only does it feel uncomfortable for you, it feels uncomfortable for other people. And so they put their shame and guilt on you, and we assume that shame and guilt, and they push themselves away from you. And that happened to me. My whole community left me, and my religion was coming crashing down at the same time. I lived in the floor of my office. I was the president of a little company, and I would get up at 5 and I left my house. I left all my stuff. I tried to negotiate all this with my wife, but it just wasn't working. And it was hard on my kids, but I left everything intact, money, house, everything, so that they could survive. And I was badmouthed in the community. Still am at some levels. And I lived on the floor in my office. I would get up at 5 in the morning. I would go shower, put a suit on, leave, go have breakfast, and come back in like I was working for the day. I had about 7, 8 employees. I had a business partner and was sleeping on the floor of my office after I left my house. That's kind of my trauma. And then I just started putting things back together. I realized that, and anytime you want me to stop talking, you just shut me up, okay? Okay. I realized that the most important thing, if we're going to be true to ourselves, we're going to have know how to love the world, to love ourselves. And I put everything in kind of a spiritual bent to know the love of God that's in our hearts. We can't conform to the world. We have to be the peace of God that God wants to experience. And that we want to experience. And so we have to learn to love ourselves first. And when we love ourselves first, we can forgive ourselves and not judge ourselves. Then that's when we can really start coming into the true divine, godly nature that we are.
So, Bill, you raise an amazing point here about being in a place where we can forgive ourselves and love ourselves. And I think whenever I talk about my healing and my transition out of victimhood, it was just that. And as someone who's been in business, you know that no like trust factor that they talk about connecting with your ideal clients. I think that no like trust, and I add accept, is an element that we need for ourselves. Oftentimes we don't know how to love ourselves, right? Like this is not something that we've ever been taught. And with the conditionings and conformities that we see throughout society, we are often removed from that self-love because of our desire and need to keep everyone else around us comfortable, which is where people pleasing comes in oftentimes, right? Because we sacrifice so much of ourselves for other people, but we don't know how to not self-abandon in doing so. And I think a huge journey back to ourselves is being able to love ourselves in spite of our flaws, to get to know ourselves beyond our trauma, get to who we are, right?
Absolutely.
And then there's an acceptance of the journey that we've had thus far.
That's beautiful.
Thank
That is
you.
absolutely, and I completely agree. And it's we come to this world, we're beautiful, we're filled with the Spirit of God. We get lacquered with false beliefs and we conform to the world. And as we start peeling that off and accepting ourselves and loving ourselves, and I like to talk about forgiveness. Because I was actually in a cemetery about 6 months ago and I was meditating for like 7 hours. And the whole concept of forgiveness came to me. And that is that we're here on an adventure and we're supposed to make mistakes because really what we do on this planet is we're transforming the dark, chaotic energy from a formless state into a state of form and light and love. And so we came here and we're supposed to make mistakes. Okay. And forgiveness, the word for forgiveness, the word for in all our language is in front of. Okay. Like the aft of a boat is in the back and the fore of a boat is in front. So God doesn't even really need forgiveness. He has given us in advance complete openness to do whatever we want to do to learn our lessons. And if we choose to do things not out of love, then that harms everybody, but harms ourselves. And if we choose things to do things out of love, then we love ourselves and we can love everybody else. So when we can forgive ourselves, know that it's okay to make mistakes, that it's okay to be ourselves, we start loving ourselves. And when we stop judging ourselves, then we start stop judging others. And then this whole journey gets beautiful.
And that's that grace and compassion that comes in, right? Now, when you talk about forgiveness, and I'm one because I have focused so much on trauma at this point, I'm not advocate for forgiving others first. It's just not who I am. I
Okay.
believe that our responsibility is self-forgiveness, but that isn't something that isn't taught or pushed. We find again, because we are in a society that wants to keep everyone else around us comfortable, that forgiveness of others is often pushed to be up before or instead of self-forgiveness. And I think when we've had experience some adverse things, being able to forgive ourselves is really the only way to liberate ourselves and move forward. But we often don't know how to do that. And the reason I say that is because a lot of times we get hung up on the decisions that we make or the mistakes that we make or the flaws that are inherent within us. And we are really rough on ourselves.
Yes.
Very critical of everything that we do, everything, all the ways that we show up. But once we are able to forgive and let go and move beyond those points, I think it gives way to us being able to look at ourselves in a different light, to appreciate ourselves in a different light, to experience gratitude in a different light as well.
I would agree with all of that. I would dig down on this point of forgiveness a little bit, in that we can't really forgive anybody else until we know how to forgive ourselves. But once we forgive ourselves, truly, 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 at a deep level, forgive ourselves, okay, which is really just giving us room to live. Then we realize that everybody is doing the best they can at any given point in time from their particular vantage point. And then, if you really get to that point, there is no need for forgiveness because everybody's doing the best that they can. Some of it doesn't look very good to us, but I can look back on my life. Actually, I write stories every week, and I've written a book too. But and I've got another book coming out this year. But I recently wrote a story about before I understood yoga and meditation and all that type of stuff. My family went to the beach, and my sister, my nephew, and my nephew's wife and my daughter were out on the beach doing yoga, and I was just a character, right? I was throwing sand on them. And they got angry with me, and I was just laughing. I thought it was stupid. And then I learned yoga and meditation, and I thought, well, that was just one of the ugliest, stupidest things I could have done, throwing sand on them. So, see, and that's over a 10-year period or whatever. Our consciousness, our state, our consciousness is always growing and changing. And we've all done a lot of really stupid things. So we just have to understand that everybody is where they are.
And that's an important point. Most of us operate from these hidden agendas anyway, right? We have these expectations that we don't communicate. Then we end up with resentments because of this uncommunicated expectation. And
Yes.
then our relationships around us fall apart as a result of the resentments. And if we can get to a place of acceptance and consideration for others, those resentments and expectations will fall away too. Because, like you said, we are all here just trying to figure it all out. It's our first time here. I don't know if it's going to be our last time here, but we don't have a operations manual.
No, we
We
don't.
don't know how to manage this life other than what we see or hear or experience. And because of our experiences can be so vastly different, there has to be some sort of compassion for someone else just because they haven't walked an inch in our shoes and we haven't walked an inch in theirs. And our lives are not just down to perspective, because perspective is broad and ever-changing.
Yes. And I'd like to say a couple things, please. One is we do have a manual, but the manual's inside of us and we ignore it. Okay.
Fair point.
And because if, and I go back to the God thing, and I don't care what you call it, he, her, it. The divine, the all, Allah, whatever, doesn't matter. But when I see people die, their spirit's gone, right? And so I believe that there's spirit that's in us, and I believe it's God's spirit. And God's spirit is all beautiful, all loving, all perfect. And that's the spirit inside of us. So if we look into the spirit inside of us, that's where our manual is. Okay. The other thing, you mentioned the word awareness. And my book actually has got the word, it's called Awakening to Ourselves, The Practical Art of Building a Spiritually Aware Life. And awareness is one of the keys. So you were talking about how we have expectations or these unmet things that we say. Anytime that we have pain, not physical pain, although physical pain is part of it too, somebody says something to it and it says something to us. And it hurts us. If we want to become whole and we want to become peaceful and joyful, we've got to look at that trigger inside of ourselves and go, what is it in me that I'm holding on to that makes me triggered, gives me pain? And then once you figure that out and you look at that trigger point with awareness, then your pain will dissolve. So,
Awareness is probably one of my favorite things to talk about, and I always liken it to a lighthouse. A lighthouse shines its light 30 seconds on rotation on a dark night, and if you are navigating dark waters, that lighthouse becomes a bright indication of what is in front of you, to the left, to the right, to the behind, but it also gives you the opportunity to navigate differently so you don't end up shipwrecked. You don't end up in a precarious situation. And similar to awareness, oftentimes we are navigating through life just completely oblivious to what is going on around us, and oftentimes what's going on the inside as well.
Yes.
And when we get to that space of, okay, here's this bright light shining to highlight all the things that I now have to navigate or make sure that I stay clear of or lean towards, we're in a better position to take action. So, and I think that's why it. Whenever I talk about accident survival mode, I say that is the first step. We can't change what we cannot see, but oftentimes we're not committed enough to uncovering what we can't see because society again creates this illusion that it's either you're perfect or you're imperfect. All of us are imperfect, right? Perfection is an illusion that society will have us chasing.
I
And then we
agree.
end up chasing our tail into absolute misery as a result.
I agree 100%.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about fears and false beliefs, right? So whenever I talk about accident survival mode, the next step for me is reprogramming. And the reason why reprogramming is so important is because we recycle 95% of our thoughts that, we don't challenge. And oftentimes we build our lives around these beliefs that really don't have any credibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's dig into it a little bit more because I know your work is helping people uncover the fears and those false beliefs. Why is that so important with the people that you work with?
I've got a whole chapter on fear in my book, and I guess what's coming to me right now is that life is like a current. It's like water. It flows. I was watching Netflix or something the other night, and a guy's dying on his bed, and he says to his daughter, he says, "A man never steps in the same river twice." And his young daughter's like, "I don't know what that means, Dad." And he tries to explain it. We step in the river, and when we step in that river, we are a person at that point in time with a certain consciousness, and the river is certain molecules of water running by us. But when we step in that river again, that's same water, but different water, and we're a different consciousness. And so it's this constant evolution of our life is like a flow. But when we have fear, fear is restriction. Okay. And when we restrict ourselves, we're pushing against the current. We're just trying to hold. And you know what water does to a rock over time? It wears it smooth. Okay. And that's the beauty of being on this planet, is that once you allowed the water to run over you enough, okay, and you let the big particles go and then the small particles go until when the water runs over you, it's just smooth and you're smooth. And so it's just a matter of recognizing our fears and looking at them. Oh, there's a beautiful bird flying on my front porch. It's just a matter of realizing your fears. I think the best way to realize your fears is when you have pain, and then you release those. And once you surrender, and this is something else I meant to say earlier that I think is important. Nobody can steal your peace. Okay, we give our peace away. You can hold that thought process, okay? Then you can stay in your peace. And then there is no fear. So, I don't know. I
I
don't know.
agree with you on that wholeheartedly. And you mentioned surrender. And I'm going to use the same analogy almost, right? You talked about water rushing over us until it's smooth. But oftentimes, we're not in a position that where we want to surrender. And I often say when we f stop fighting the current is when
Yes.
we stop drowning. And
Yes.
sometimes we have to realize that life is happening for us. And it's okay to let our guard down. It's okay to relinquish control every now and then. And we're talking about a higher power, a God, a Allah, whatever you want to call it, the universe.
Right.
Oftentimes we resist surrendering simply because maybe we don't trust the process or we just so addicted to being in control that we don't recognize that that need for control is actually what is causing the disruption and not in a positive way in our lives. And sometimes we have to get to a place of surrender so that we are able to move forward. And that's why I use that analogy. When we stop fighting the current, we stop drowning. A huge part of my moving forward and my healing was getting to a place of surrender and just recognizing, yes, I do have complete control of self, but I don't have complete control of my environment or my circumstances. And while I'm trying to fight for that control, I am actually giving my power away for something that is non-existent.
That's beautiful, and I would agree with you.
And I
And
go ahead.
And the way I look at this too is I look at everything like emanating from God, all of the whole universe, and it's just unfolding. And when you can release this desire to control everything and you watch the unfolding, it can really unfold beautifully right in front of you. And you don't have, and the other thing I like to think about is when we go on vacation, the primary reason, although the word vacation comes from the word vacate, okay, and the word recreation comes from the word recreate, okay. When we go on vacation, a lot of times what we're trying to do is we're changing our environment. We're going on an adventure, right? And anytime we travel, go on an adventure, we're unfamiliar with the path and the culture and the food and the timing and the train, everything, the language. But we do that so we can experience new and grow, okay? Well, what if we thought about coming to this world like an adventure where we know that, we might miss the bus sometimes, or we might have to not get our favorite food for a couple days, but we might meet some really cool people and see some really cool stuff. And so if we thought about life coming into this world more like this beautiful adventure that's unfolding, that's gonna have problems. And we're going to have a flat tire, and our boat's going to have a hole, and we're going to be hungry and cold sometimes, and people are going to be ugly to us. But there's a lot of beauty here, too. And it's in the beauty of the adventure, the conscious awareness, where we see everything and we come back to ourselves. It's the hero's journey, right? You go off, you find yourself. And then you bring that back to your community.
As you're saying this, I want to share a little story with you. So, 2022, my family and I became homeless
Oh,
because
my God.
my landlord wanted their property back. And there was this brief moment of, well, what am I going to do? So I flippantly said to my husband, we should just go and travel. Let's just pack up everything into storage and go off to Spain for 3 months.
Awesome.
And we did. But that 3 month journey ended up
Right.
being a 2 year journey.
Oh, wow.
And I would say it was probably the most liberating 2 years of my life. When I say, like, I traveled, slow traveled through Europe, it was really an indication of a journey back to myself. And I use this as an example. Sometimes our messiest moments give birth to our most beautiful moments, but oftentimes we resist it. We're not open to adventure. We're not open to shifting the narrative or changing or moving away from our normality. But there is so much growth, so much enlightenment that can happen when we do. So it goes back to your point of just being willing and willing to surrender and being open, because so much beauty can come out of new experiences, new adventures that you probably were resistant to in the first place. I can tell you, I don't think I would be in this space holding this conversation with you had it not been for that 2 year journey, because there was so much resistance in me stepping into what I think is my purpose. But that adventure stripped me of all of my resistance. And it showed me elements of myself that I never knew existed. And I'm just so grateful for that. And I'm saying that to say to the audience, anything can happen. Every day is a gift. And if you are meeting your gifts with resistance, you're going to miss out on the beauty of life.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a beautiful story, and thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome. So, Bill, tell us a little bit more about how we can connect with you and how you work with people.
Probably the best way to connect with me is to go to my website, which is called awakeningtoourselves.com, which is also, can I hold my book up here? Is that okay?
Absolutely.
I don't know if you can see it. Awakening, oh, here it is. Awakening to Ourselves.
Yes.
And my book's on Amazon, but if you go to my website, awakeningtoourselves.com, you can put your email in, and I write a weekly, I call it a spiritual story, but it's all about healing and forgiveness and getting out of the box and loving ourselves and loving each other. And a lot of my own experiences, and then just my own beliefs and theology. And from there's lots of ways to connect with me. Once you start getting my newsletter, I've got a YouTube site, and which is, I'm actually rebranding under Sage Life with Bill, because Sage Life is my corporate name. And Sage for me stands for spiritual awareness, growth, and enlightenment. So that's how to connect with me.
Okay, well, we'll make sure that information is in the show notes. But before we wrap it all up, Bill, one key takeaway for the audience to action.
I was thinking about this when you were talking about going to Spain. If you look at all the great people in the world, almost all of them sought times of silence. Jesus would preach, and then he would go up in the mountain. Malcolm X was in jail for like 6 years. Nelson Mandela wasn't a very nice man and went to jail and came out different. I mean, and you can just name them. Henry David Thoreau, when he wrote his stuff at Walden Pond. You have to seek yourself. And the easiest way to do that is to seek yourself in some silence. You can call it meditating, you can call it sitting on your front porch in the rocking chair for 10, 15 minutes every day, or whatever it is. And I'm currently on this retreat in the mountains that I didn't even realize was a retreat for me. I was just trying to have a vacation. But, and then when you sit in the silence, you'll hear the call of your spirit. And behind that spirit is God's call. And you'll learn who you are in this world. And you'll learn how to love yourself. And then you'll be at peace, and then you'll just love everything.
So connect with silence and learn who you are.
Yes.
Bill, thank you so much for your time on Survival Mode Disrupted. I've enjoyed this conversation. Audience, thank you for catching another episode. And I just want to remind you, you were not built to break, but you damn sure were not built to just survive. So disrupt the cycle, reclaim your life, and thrive on your own terms. Once again, thank you for joining another episode of Survival Mode Disrupted, hosted by the Survival Mode Disruptor, Letitia. You didn't land here by accident. This conversation, it probably cracked something open on purpose. Because survival mode isn't just a phase, it's a pattern, an identity, a prison masked as strength. But here's the truth: you're not broken. You're just unfinished. So if something stirred in you today, don't ignore it. Don't numb it. Move with it. And I want to once again invite you to join Disrupting Survival Mode, the Facebook community where healing is loud and messy and real. I also want to invite you to buy my book, The Survival Mode Exit Plan, because your breakthrough deserves a blueprint. And if you felt seen today, be sure to share this episode with someone who needs to hear it. Like, subscribe, and drop a review. That's how we amplify the voices that need to be heard. And remember, this isn't about fixing yourself. This is about finding yourself again beneath the rubble. Until next time, choose ease, choose power, choose you. This is Survival Mode Disrupted. Let's keep shaking shit up.